The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. Welcome to a Thursday, everyone. I get screwed up when I take a day off in the middle of the week, which you know I don't do very often, but I did yesterday to help my kid with her move, and I get all thrown up. And then I helped her again today because her days off are Wednesday and Thursday. So, you know, I'm a mom. What am I going to do? I'm going to help my kids. So I've been running around living sort of vicariously through her. Oh, only to, you know, to be in one's first apartment again. I'm here, and it is Thursday, so Howie Klein will be along. And I want to share with you the tweet that Howie Klein sent out a little while ago. He wrote, "This afternoon, Nicole Sandler and I will be breaking some news on her show. You won't want to miss it, and you absolutely won't want any children under the age of 17 anywhere nearby." And then parentheses, he said, "I'm being serious about that." Now, I know what this is about, but I'm not going to tell you because you're going to have to wait and find out. All right. But it is coming. It is coming. So anyway, here we are. Welcome to a Thursday. So much has gone on in the last couple of days. And I wasn't here yesterday. So I wound up getting home just in time to hit the button and start the show running. Last time I tried to take a day off, and I sent the show that was going to run over to Progressive Voices to have them insert it into the programming, and for some reason it just didn't fire. And this is a problem with automation. Frankly, it's not just, Progressive Voices and TuneIn. It is radio that runs off of this automation, which again all really started in earnest back in 1996, along with the Telecommunications Act of 1996. I remember back then hearing about how horrible it was going to be if this legislation went through. And sure enough, let's see, it passed. It was the Telecommunications Act of 1996, but 3 years later, now, 4 years later, I was part of a startup, another station in Los Angeles starting up, and it was owned by Clear Channel, now known as iHeartRadio. And they were, when we launched this station, we were going to do it. They did it on the cheap. And they said, "We're going to use new technology. It's called voice tracking." And there was a, Clear Channel wound up buying this company called Profit. And get the play on words, because it's P-R-O-P-H-E-T, right? But we know what it was about, Profit. So we had our little station in Santa Monica, and through this company, Profit, which then became NextGen, we could bring in, at one of our sister stations, we had a sister station in Boulder, Colorado, KBCO, and a disc jockey there could take the music log that I would program, because, corporate radio, and record the breaks and push a button, and it would go down the line and it would show up in my computer generated program, and it would play as if he were in the studio in Santa Monica. That was the beginning of the end of radio for me. And it all came out of this. Anyway, why did I bring this up? I'm trying to remember why I even went there. I've lost it. It'll come back to me. It'll come to me in a few minutes. Why I went there about voice tracking. Oh, about no live bodies being in the room. I'm still not sure. Oh, because the automation didn't work. Duh. When I sent the file over to Progressive Voices to play the last time I was out. So this time I had set up my studio in case I wasn't home in time. I told David what switches he needed to flip and what buttons to push. And I wound up getting home in time, so I started it myself anyway. And I wound up listening to the show. And the show that I played back yesterday was from 10 years ago this week. It was on April 26th, 2011, is when I went to that town hall meeting with my then Congressman Alan West and was arrested and thrown in jail and mistreated. And the, and one of the reasons I played it, other than the fact that we are, we've hit 10 years since, or we will in a couple of days hit 10 years, a few things that I noticed. One is, it was just as traumatic listening back to it, because I told the whole story. It was the first day back, so it was the 26th was a Tuesday. I had done my show that day. Back then, I was doing a show in the morning, like from 10 to noon. Then I drove up to West Palm Beach to guest host the Randy Rhoads show. And it was during her show that I talked about, I'm going to this town hall meeting with my congressman, Alan West, and I'm going to call him. I'm going to ask him, call him out. I'm going to ask him about his vote to privatize Medicare. And that's when they changed the format of the town hall meetings to, no, you need to write down your question in advance and put it on a card and we'll pick and choose. And okay. So, but what it brought back for me as I was telling the story was, and again, my experience is nothing like what being especially a black male in America is like. I admit I'm white, I'm privileged, but even with the privilege that comes with being white, they still treated me as if I were, you know, I murdered their mother. It's the way they treat you. You're under arrest. Haven't officially been charged with anything. Haven't even been before a judge, yet they treat you like you killed their mother. And because I have a big mouth, I had never been in jail before, and I was mistreated. And I mouthed off to the guard, who then put me in solitary confinement and then wound up macing me. All that. This isn't even about that. What this is about, the arrest. Because I went through it and I was reading from the arrest document, the arrest report, and I noticed that this cop, Sergeant William J. Russo of the Fort Lauderdale Police Department, blatantly lied on this report. He wrote, "As I attempted to escort her out, she became physically aggressive with this officer, pushing me several times." That did not happen. What happened was he was pushing me, and that's when I got belligerent, and I said, "Get your hands off of me." And when I said it a second time, he arrested me. I never put my hands on him. His hands were all over me, which is why I was getting so crazy, because I kept telling him to get his fucking hands off of me. So the lying, these cops lying on arrest reports, on incident reports, is obviously endemic. This is what they do. This is how they learn to do it. And so it was just 2 days ago that we got the original, it was a press release that the Minneapolis Police Department put out after George Floyd died. And here's how it read. This is the whole thing, right? And you know what happened. We all know what happened. And we saw it during the trial, played ad nauseum. We saw what happened, but this is how they reported George Floyd's arrest and subsequent death. May 25th, 2020, Minneapolis. On Monday evening, shortly after 8 p.m., officers from the Minneapolis Police Department responded to the 3700 block of Chicago Avenue South on a report of a forgery in process. Officers were advised that the suspect was sitting on top of a blue car and appeared to be under the influence. Two officers arrived and located the suspect, a male believed to be in his 40s, in his car. He was ordered to step from his car. After he got out, he physically resisted officers. Officers were able to get suspect into handcuffs and noted he appeared to be suffering medical distress. Officers called for an ambulance. He was transported to Hennepin County Medical Center by ambulance, where he died a short time later. At no time were weapons of any type used by anyone involved in this incident. And it goes on from there. No mention of a knee on a neck or the struggle or any of that. And if there had not been that wonderful young woman recording it on her video camera, this would be the official narrative. This is a problem. As you can tell from my little incident 10 years ago to this, the cops make shit up. They lie on incident and arrest reports. And if they do it so simply, when there's videotape involved, because my whole arrest was certainly videotaped, as was this, we know what happened. It's just, for someone who doesn't, the whole system is rigged. That's the only way you can look at it. The cops lie. And then they get others, they cover for each other. So I just had to go there because that, aside from the trauma of reliving what happened 10 years ago, which was really weird for me, just noticing the lying, it's astounding. This is what they do. And I call for, I think what's needed now is a complete overhaul of our entire police system in every state, in every city. Police forces, I think everybody needs to be put on whatever, leave until they pass a new psychological screening and a new retraining program. And I guess you're going to have to stagger them so some people will stay on the job so there's always somebody working. But we cannot continue in this manner. They can't get away with lying the way they do. And obviously, it's something that's been going on for many, many years. So that happened. All right. So now I'm done with yesterday. I hope I know it was self-indulgent, but I figured better to go back and see where we were 10 years ago this week than play something I just did a couple of days ago. Let me give you a bit of an afternoon news update because stuff happened today. The House this afternoon approved legislation to make Washington, D.C. the 51st state in the nation. Now the bill goes to the Senate where, at least it'll get a vote. At least Chuck Schumer, with Chuck Schumer as majority leader, we can get, they can bring it to the floor. What we don't have is, we don't have fairness. We don't have a Senate where both sides work together. That just doesn't exist anymore. Really, they talk about comity, not comedy, comity with a T. And it's goodwill. I should look up the exact definition. I always keep a dictionary here. I think I know what the word means, but I want to make sure that I'm using it correctly. C-O-M-M. There's a lot of C-O-N words. C-O-M-I-T-Y. C-O-M-I. And it's not even showing. C-O-M. You would think there's comity is not even there. How could it not be in the dictionary? Maybe it's, making up a word all these years, C-O-M-I-T-Y. Yeah, it's a word. Why is it not in my dictionary? Here it says, an association of nations for their mutual benefit, courtesy and considerate behavior towards others. That's the kind of comity I'm talking about. That used to exist in the Senate, and it doesn't any longer. It doesn't. This is why we're talking about the need to abolish the filibuster. Because with a 50-50 split in the Senate, there's no way anything is going to get done. It's just not going to get done. So anyway, this is the second time the House has approved a legislation to make Washington, D.C. the 51st state. The second time in 2 years that it's passed the House. But the statehood bill faces an uphill climb in a Senate evenly divided between the two parties. The vote in the House, by the way, in case you were wondering, was 216 to 208. So that happened. Speaking of the Senate, an important bill passed in the Senate and by a 94-1 margin. And you know, right now, things don't happen on a bipartisan basis these days. But this time, it did. And the bill was the... what's the official name of it? I can't even find it. It's the hate crimes bill. Basically, it's designed to limit the increase in hate crimes towards Asian Americans and Pacific Island Americans, right? Which we've seen an uptick in since the onset of the COVID pandemic. And why? Because we had an idiot in the White House who insisted on referring to it as the China virus. China virus, or the Kung Flu, because he's a bigot and a miserable excuse for a human being. And all of a sudden, the lemmings that follow the former guy are perpetrating all kinds of violence and harassing Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders. It's just, it's gotten out of control. So the bill was co-authored by Senator Mazie Hirono and Congresswoman Grace Meng. She's a freshman from New York. It's designed to set stricter legal standards for attacks on Asian Americans, which have spiked during the coronavirus pandemic, as xenophobic political rhetoric has also increased. Now, this bill would also direct the Departments of Justice and Health and Human Services to issue guidance raising awareness of hate crimes during the pandemic, and would work with agencies to establish an online system of reporting these crimes. And so it passed the Senate. It now goes back to the House before being signed into law by Joe Biden. And, you know, so, yes, the vote was 94-1. And I know you're wondering, who was the one? Anyone have a guess? Anyone? Bueller? Well, I will tell you. And it's just what you think. Josh Hawley of Missouri is the only no vote on this bill. I'd love to know why. Well, we know why, because he's a bigot. He's just a miserable, sorry excuse for a human being. And so, yeah. Now, speaking of Mazie Hirono, she's going to be on the show tomorrow. I just got her new book, came in the mail late yesterday. It's called Heart of Fire, An Immigrant Daughter's Story. So obviously, I'm not going to have a chance to read it, because we're taping this interview tomorrow morning at like 9:30. Because she's a sitting U.S. senator, her time is valuable. I think I have 20 minutes with her. So we will tape that tomorrow. We'll hear it back tomorrow afternoon. It's a good way to begin the weekend. And she's coming, you know, she's riding high right now. I actually first encountered Mazie Hirono right when she became a senator. She spent some time, I think, as lieutenant governor of Hawaii and as a member of Congress, and she rose to the Senate in 2013. Well, she spoke at a Netroots Nation back, it must have been 2012 or 2013, and that's when I first met her, and she was very sort of soft-spoken. She's really come into her own in the last couple of years and is very outspoken and spoken. And I'm really looking forward to talking with her tomorrow. So anyway, we'll definitely talk about this bill, and see what we can do to get it through the House. I mean, it should easily pass the House. In the House, they only need a simple majority, although the margin is close. But this, I mean, just the way it passed in the Senate on a bipartisan basis, it should pass in the House the same way. Except today's Republican Party is hateful and ugly and bigoted and racist and all of those things. All of those things. I have so many different like videos and things that I want to show you. And of course we have Howie Klein coming up as well. But let me see if I can't find. I pulled some video of other goings on today. That, you know, I know things aren't, look, we dodged a bullet, of course, and things turned out better than I imagined they would have been when I realized that Joe Biden was going to be the nominee. But we got very lucky. And do I not have that? let me play for you a little bit of the kind of crap we're up against in today's political climate, where people are just people. I'm saying people. Republicans are hateful, horrible people. So yesterday there was a hearing in the Senate. Stacey Abrams was testifying before the Senate on obviously voting issues, the new Georgia voting prohibitive voting bill that you know what it did. It screwed up the election that went so well this past November. They said, well, it works well, so let's break it. So they had a hearing on that, and Stacey Abrams was testifying. And you got John Kennedy. Boy, talk about a pox on his name. It's a shame that this man gets to use the name John Kennedy. But anyway, John Kennedy, where is this? Now I got to find the, that's not it. Oh, there it is. Okay. So John Kennedy is, it's his turn to question Stacey Abrams. And well, I'm going to play this exchange for you. It runs just about 2 minutes. And John Kennedy thinks, you know, he should be smarter. He's got a law degree, I think, from Harvard. He should know what we learned in the OJ trial. You don't ask a question to which you don't know the answer. So there's the words of warning there. Here's how it went. Take it away, John Kennedy.
You've called it a racist bill. Am I right?
I think there are provisions of it that are racist, yes.
Okay.
The Georgia voting bill.
Specifically, just give me a list of the provisions that you object to.
I object to the provisions that remove access to the right to vote,
okay,
that shorten the federal runoff period from 9 weeks to 4 weeks,
okay,
that restrict the time that a voter can request and return an absentee ballot application, that eliminate...
Slow down for me, because our audio is not real good here.
Slow down for me.
Could you start over for me?
Oh, my God.
Certainly.
Thank you,
it shortens the federal runoff period from 9 weeks to 4 weeks.
Right.
Okay. It restricts the time a voter can request and return an absentee ballot application.
Right.
It requires that a voter have a photo identification or some other form of identification that they're willing to surrender,
okay,
in order to participate in absentee ballot process.
If I can stop you, that's where they're going to not comparing signatures, but to voter ID.
What?
Yes, sir. And as Ms. Eiffel has pointed out, we would become only the fourth state in the nation to require voters to put at risk their identity.
What else?
It eliminates over 300 hours of Dropbox availability.
Yes.
Okay. What else?
It bans nearly all out-of-precinct votes.
Bans what? I'm sorry?
It bans nearly all out-of-precinct votes,
okay,
meaning that if you get to a precinct and you are in line for 4 hours and you get to the end of the line and you are not there between 5 and 7 p.m.,
okay,
you
what
have
else?
To start all over again.
Is that everything?
No, it is not. No, sir. It restricts the hours of operation because it now, under the guise of setting a standardized timeline, it makes it optional for counties that may be... may not want to see expanded access to the right to vote. They can now limit their hours instead of those hours.
It just keeps going.
Now from 9 to 5, which may have an effect on voters who cannot vote during business hours.
He didn't think she was going to answer the question.
It limits the...
Okay, I get the idea.
I get the idea. Now he gets the idea. Wow. Again, who is it? Chris Darden said, put on the glove. Let's see. Does it fit? Yeah. John Kennedy, just pox on his name. Speaking of heinous creatures from the South, the governor of this state where I live, Ron Death Sentence, did a few things. One, he signed, and this happened the day before yesterday, late, but after the show ended, so I couldn't tell you, but he signed this new legislation, what's known euphemistically as the anti-riot legislation. And basically, this is a new law now signed by the governor here in Florida that basically says if you are protesting and anybody at all gets violent, then it can be deemed a riot, and everybody who participated in said protest is it can be arrested, can be charged under this legislation. Not only that, it also I want to get the verbiage correct on this because it's astounding. The Orlando Sentinel reported that parts of the bill, HB 1, that most upset Democrats, grant civil legal immunity to anyone who might drive through the protesters who might be blocking a road. Okay, I want to make sure you get that. Like Heather Heyer in Charlottesville was walking down the street with others. By the way, the street they were on was a pedestrian mall. It was a pedestrian road. There weren't supposed to be cars on there, yet the murderer who killed her drove down the road, hitting, intentionally aiming for the protesters who were walking down the street, killing Heather Heyer. Under this new Florida law, she'd be cleared. He'd be cleared. It's okay. You can kill somebody. You can commit vehicular manslaughter or murder with your vehicle if somebody is participating in a peaceful protest but happen to go on the street and they're blocking traffic. This law that Ron Death Sentence signed, so it is now law in Florida, somebody can legally mow you down with their car. And all would be fine in the eyes of the law. I just want to make sure you got that. This is where we are in Florida right now. Other things it would do? It would prevent anyone... What?
You're wrong.
I'm wrong? Tell me how I'm wrong.
Read what you just said. Civil.
Oh, and civil. Grant civil legal immunity to people who drive through protesters
right.
Blocking a road.
So you can still be charged with a crime.
You can still be charged with a crime.
But you can't be sued.
But you can't be sued.
For doing the damage.
People could still be criminally charged for taking their car and mowing down protesters who are using their First Amendment rights. But in Florida, the driver will not be able to be sued for civil damages. So they can still be, oh, I see, they could still be criminally charged, you just can't be sued, because it's all about the money.
That's right.
Okay, gotcha. That's even more asinine. I'm sorry. Then there's this. If you are arrested, say you're arrested for rioting or offenses committed during a riot. So in other words, you participated in a peaceful protest that some idiots got out of hand with, or maybe agents provocateur decided they're going to, you know, they're going to break some windows and loot some stores and make you look bad. Then the whole thing is deemed a riot and you participated. So you can be arrested. This law would prevent you from bailing out of jail until your first court appearance. It would also impose a 6-month mandatory sentence for battery on a police officer during a riot. Actually, you know, that's not unreasonable. I'm sorry. You don't hit a cop. Now, we need to change what cops do. But yeah, this story that I'm reading from says the bill is an attack on the First Amendment by a governor who has 2024 presidential ambitions and is willing to encourage having protesters hit with cars if it gives them a boost in the Republican presidential primary field. It's just amazing. It just makes no sense. None of it makes any sense. Just like we need a little comic relief. And what I'm about to play for you is not, this would not be laughing with them. This would be laughing at them. So the Fox, you know, the fake news channel, you know, where they make shit up. You know that one, right? I've got their imaging right here somewhere. Do I? It goes like this.
Your original source for fake news, Fox News. We make shit up.
So now, apparently, they have a new late-night comedy show. They have a guy, and I don't watch Fox, so I don't know these people, but Greg Gutfeld does a show, and I think he's on at like 11 o'clock at night or something like that. So Greg Gutfeld does, it's a comedy show. So let me play for you a bit. I think this was from last night. This is what Republicans, I guess, believe is funny.
News. But 4 years ago, they devoted
that's him, Greg Gutfeld,
to Trump, mostly to trash him, and they never let up, even today.
Okay, so they is us. Right. Okay.
You're watching ATN, all Trump news, because everything else is boring by comparison.
Okay.
I'm Anderson Lemon with the headlines.
Anderson Lemon?
Product
what?
Placements could soon be edited into classic films. Scientists have developed the technology to insert ads or products in scenes, which could generate extra revenue for streaming services. It's all well and good until Donald Trump tries to put his name on Nakatomi Plaza, which would turn Die Hard, a fine piece of American cinema, into nothing but trash. Just like everything else Trump touches, it turns to trash.
Okay, well.
Except for trash.
What?
He touches trash.
All right, you know what? Sorry, I'm going to turn it. See, that's what they. And so the whole segment, it's this woman who calls herself Anderson Lemon for some reason, doing a thing where the punchline for everything is how horrible Trump was. Well, he was. I mean, that's not funny. It's just true. Weird, right? That's Fox comedy. They have a comedy show on at night. Now, it's all unintentionally funny. Anyway, I mean, they don't even have to go through this charade. Wow. Now, somebody in the Facebook chat just said, hey, Nicole, did you see Tucker Carlson's lunatic laugh? Yeah, I did. And we're going to get to that. In fact, we're going to get to that right now when I get Howie Klein on the line. Let's do it.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTierney.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Hello, Howie Klein.
And hello, Nicole Sandler.
So I've been teasing your breaking news here. I didn't go into what it was, but you did tweet out something earlier that you've got some news to break, and that to watch out, just be careful, because you don't want little kids in the room when we play this. So I haven't even hinted at what it is. So you want to tell us what happened?
Yes. So last night, Tucker Carlson, just made some kind of, cracks about Ted Lieu.
Actually, I have the segment if you want me to play it.
No need.
No? Okay, no need.
It's just typical Tucker Carlson, revving up the Republican hate machine.
Right.
And this happens every now and then. And whenever it does, Ted's office gets tons of voicemails overnight, cursing him out in no uncertain terms. He gets threats, et cetera. So this morning, one of his staffers sent me one of the tapes. There were dozens and dozens and dozens of them. He said this wasn't even the worst of them. It was just one that he, was able to make a copy of and send to me. And I was in the middle of writing a post anyway about how dangerous Republicans are to America because they refuse to get vaccinated.
Right.
And they feel that vaccination is against their freedom or something like that. And I guess not realizing that we're all vaccinated against diseases. And if we don't get vaccinated against smallpox, for example, we're not allowed to go to schools.
That's right.
Just as an example. But, they think this is some kind of a liberal plot. They don't believe in it. I don't know. I mean, we'd have to ask Ted Nugent if he believes in it anymore, if he lives. He's got COVID now.
Yes, he
after,
does.
Running around in Florida performing at an anti-mask store.
Supermarket. It's a supermarket.
In any case, Why don't we play the tape, the okay. audio tape? We made a video and we have it up at Down with Tyranny.
Oh, do you?
Why don't we play the audio okay. tape of that Ted Lieu's office got, one of the audios that Ted Lieu's office got last night, overnight, after the Tucker Carlson hate machine got going.
Okay, so this is just one out of dozens of calls, but this is sort of a good indication of what they all sounded like. They're all in this general vicinity. Okay, here we go. And again, this is where if you've got kids in the car or something, turn the radio down now. Okay.
Right. No, this is really serious.
Yeah.
We're not kidding around. If there's a kid in the car, shut it off.
Right. And give us about 30 seconds or so. Okay. Make it a minute just to be safe. Okay. This was a call that went into Ted Lieu's office last night.
You shove the coronavirus up your ass, Ted Lieu, you fucking traitorous, racist motherfucker. Stick your big fucking mouth, you arrogant fucking cunt. Stick your fucking face up your asshole, you fucking piece of shit. Fuck you, Ted fucking Lieu, you motherfucker. You don't seem to give a flying fuck about 10 million Mexicans coming in with the fucking virus. And anybody expresses concern they're racist? Fuck you. You motherfuckers couldn't give a shit less about Mexicans. All you're trying to do is fuck this country up with your fucking power trip. Your fucking day's coming, you fucking Democratic cunt. Fuck you, you ugly, arrogant, motherfucking piece of shit. Have a good day, Ted, you cunt, fucking Lieu.
Wow.
Now, something that struck me about this is this guy apparently hates women. Did you feel that at all from that?
I just think he hates everyone. I think he's, you know.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
He's a troubled man.
But use of the C word over and
right.
over and over again, and when he says it, his tone changes, and he just says it with such hatred dripping from him. He must have been, really, I mean, I don't know what he's like, you know, who knows, but I think he's probably felt that women didn't like him.
Well, maybe he's an incel.
We can imagine why.
He's an incel. Can't get laid. Sorry, Tucker.
Yeah.
Fucker.
But anyway, I mean, you know, Ted, you know, so I would recommend that people read the whole post that I have up at Down with Tyranny now. It's the very first post at mm-hmm. downwithtyranny.com. And I was in the middle of writing the post when I got the video. So it wasn't, even though the video is at the top of the post, that wasn't the plan. In fact, when I first started writing the post, it was just about India. Because India, who has a very, 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 very right-wing government,
mm-hmm.
and this guy in Modi, who's the prime minister, he's at least as bad as Trump, if not worse in some ways. And he has the same attitude as Trump about the pandemic. You know, it was a hoax, it wasn't real, they didn't take it seriously. And now India is having over 250,000 new cases per day. All the hospitals are full, they're breaking down. They don't have oxygen. People are dying in the parking lot waiting to get into the hospital. It's just an absolute catastrophe. And, you know, for the same reasons, you know, bad leadership. Bad leadership.
Right.
And Modi and Trump, of course, are friends.
Of course they are. But, you know, here's the thing. Trump, they want it both ways. Trump wants to take credit for the vaccines. He's like, why didn't they thank me? They should have called it the Trump vaccine. And yet, you know, his minions are afraid to take it. He even sheepishly admits that he got it. And people should get it. But, you know, do what you're going to do, because he's so afraid of upsetting his base. The whole thing is it's horrible. When you're out and about and you see people, and you can tell right off the bat, the people who are the COVID deniers, they won't wear a mask. They won't get vaccinated. I don't know if you see them in California. I certainly see them here in Florida.
No.
Because you don't really go out.
In L.A., you don't ever see anybody without a mask, ever.
Wow. And here, because the governor has said you can't mandate it. Now, I was out and about today, and luckily most places have a sign that you can't come in the store or whatever without a mask. But Ron Death Sentence has said you cannot mandate that masks, you can't have a mask mandate in Florida. You can't, he wants all school learning to be in person, no more remote schooling, and he wants masks to be voluntary. You know, the people who are filling the hospitals right now are all younger. Because yep. us older folks are doing the, you know, what we need to do. It's younger people who now the variants, the mutations of the virus are now hitting younger people, and they just don't want to know. They just don't want to know from it.
Yeah, he's going to go down in history as one of the worst governors in America has ever had. Hopefully, he'll never be president, and I hope it all comes clear before he is reelected. But there are very, very few governors nearly as bad as him, and none in a very, very big state like Florida.
Exactly. But so Howie Klein, can you tell me then why, if you look at any polling, not that, you know, it's still so far out, but he's like right behind Trump in terms of 2024 contenders.
Among Republicans.
Among Republicans, right.
Okay. So what is a Republican? You want to play that tape again? You want to know what
right,
a Republican is?
Right, that's what a Republican
listen,
is.
Listen to that.
That's a Republican today.
That's who they are. That is the voice of the Republican Party. And I'm not talking about the office holders. I'm not talking about the members of Congress mm-hmm. who are Republicans or the governors. I'm talking about the voters. I'm talking about the ones who elect these people. That is on that tape. That's what you hear on the tape. The hatred, the stupidity, the viciousness. That is the Republican voter 2021. That's what's so horrible about that tape is that is the GOP. That's what's left of the GOP now.
Oh, right. And, you know, I've gotten maybe not quite that virulent, but I've gotten similar messages. You should hear some of the ones I get and some from people, you know, claiming to be Democrats and progressives, too. So, you know, they're out there. The people are just miserable. People are just nasty, and especially Republican people. So I you know, the only hope that I see going forward is that the size of the Republican Party, the number of people who still openly admit to being a Republican, has dropped a lot, hasn't it? Like, they're losing members.
Yep, it's at a very, very low point. But what's being left is the real sort of dregs at the bottom of the barrel. So the Republican Party is going further and further to the right, and then driving more people away. And it's going to soon be just like a rump regional party that's just all about hatred and bigotry and racism. The other half of the Republican Party. You know, the Republican Party was always sort of an amalgam of hatred and bigotry mixed with greed and selfishness. Okay. And the greed and selfishness part of the party is suddenly finding it very convenient to, you know, relook at their relationship to the Democrats. And, you know, they look at these conservative Democrats and they say, you know, their views aren't that far different from ours. Uh-huh. We can work with this.
Right.
So a lot of them are coming over to the Democratic Party. And, of course, Democrats, professional Democrats, are thinking that's wonderful. And I'm worried about that because, you know, the Democratic Party is conservative enough
right.
without an influx of Republicans coming into the party. Because most Republicans who come to the Democratic Party are, you know, really, really, they don't leave their conservative baggage at the door. They bring it with them. And we have lots and lots of really awful conservative ex-Republicans in the Democratic Party now. That's bad. You know, it doesn't always happen. I mean, you get someone like Elizabeth Warren,
right.
who came over because she realized what a dead end conservatism was, and she's, you know, a real progressive.
Right. Well, that's the difference. There are those who, before the age of Trump, were Republican for whatever reason. Maybe their parents were, which is the case with Elizabeth Warren. Her family was Republican. Yep. And so once she got out into the world and saw how things work, she's like, all right, I'm more with these people than those. People who organically came to say, wait a minute, I don't believe this stuff. I belong with the other people. That's all well and good. The problem is this latest influx of the never Trumpers. You see them. It's a constant parade on MSNBC. They populate that channel. This is, they want to take over the Democratic Party. And that's why I have a real problem with them, because they want to just pull the Democratic Party to the right. They want to be the new Republican Party because they fucked up their own party and couldn't keep the crazies out. So now they want to take over ours. Yeah, that's not okay.
And not only want to, but they seem to be succeeding at it.
Except, you know, Biden is, I'll speak for me, not for you. I'm pleasantly surprised at how progressive he is trying to be. And a lot of the stuff he's done is so uncharacteristic of him and his typical centrist nature. I think he's really, he must have made a deal with Bernie Sanders to give them, give progressives a real hearing. I think he's really trying to be inclusive of not the Republicans, but of the progressives.
Yeah.
you disagree.
Hope you're right. I don't see it that way.
Okay. All right. Are you, you're not happy with anything he's doing?
No.
Well, okay.
I stand by my my prediction that he will be the worst president other than Trump of our lifetimes.
Really? Wow.
I mean, I feel like the good thing is that he's got some good people around him who are trying to do the right thing. And you know, I also buy into the idea that he's too senile to know what's going on at this point, partially.
Okay.
And, look, the capital gains tax has been 35% forever.
Right.
Trump comes along and lowers it to 28.
Right.
The Democrats want to push it back up to 35.
Right.
So what does Biden do? He says, you know, let's go for half. Let's make it 28%. That puts him in a terrible bargaining position.
But that's not the capital gains tax.
The Republicans don't want it going up at all.
Okay, but
he has to do with the conservative Democrats, and immediately it goes down to 25%.
Yeah, but that's not, Cowie, that's not capital gains. That's the tax bracket.
Sorry, I didn't mean capital gains exactly. That's the corporate
tax rate. But now he is, just today, he's to propose capital gains tax of 39.6% to as high as 43.4%, that he wants to increase the capital gains tax up that high. This is huge.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Right. But the fact that he's even proposing it, I think is a big deal. The fact that he's willing to, look, capital gains, this has been an issue for a long time. And the fact that they're talking about pushing it up to 43%, okay.
Let's see what happens.
Okay. Let's see what happens.
I mean, I feel a lot of these things are sort of worked out in advance, and I don't think they worked out to the advantage of people who would like a stronger capital gains tax.
Okay. I see. Of course, Fox, their take on it is Dow tumbles 321 points on Biden's capital gains tax hike plan. When I talk economics, my eyes roll back in my head a little bit because that's not my strong suit. I'm best at spending money, not opining on monetary policy.
Go back 1 second. I forgot to say something in our discussion of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Which is, I just read an interesting piece that NPR put out about how the Israelis got the ultra-Orthodox to get vaccinated,
because
the ultra-Orthodox are as conservative as the Republicans are here. Same kind of mindset, you know, very, very, very primitive. And yet, 80% have been vaccinated in Israel. 80%
wow.
of the ultra-Orthodox. These are the ones who, you know, Israel was off to a really good start with the pandemic. They were doing everything right. Everything was going well. And then the ultra-Orthodox suddenly decided they're not going along with any kind of social distancing or mask wearing or anything like that. It's against their freedom. It's against their religion. It's not kosher.
And then Israel would spiral down into being one of the worst places on earth for the pandemic, basically because these folks are in their own self-imposed ghettos. They spread it like wildfire inside, and then it leaks outside. So Israel really turned into one of the worst, from one of the best countries in dealing with the pandemic to one of the worst. And there are a lot of subtext to that as well. We don't have to get into, but yet now, 80% of these ultra-Orthodox are vaccinated. After not wanting it, they all got it. So how did that happen, and how is that relevant to our situation here, where 50% of Republican males say they will not get vaccinated?
Right.
Now, I'm kind of hoping that, you know, now that they see what's happening to their hero, Ted Nugent, who's talking about how he's trying to crawl to the bathroom and can't make it.
Aww.
Now that he's got COVID, maybe that'll change some of their minds. I don't know. I mean, you brought up a minute ago that Trump now has admitted that he secretly got vaccinated.
Right.
Well, why doesn't he go and tell people that he got vaccinated? I mean, he's playing it down. What they did in Israel was they got all of the, all these communities are these ultra-Orthodox communities are very, very much controlled by their chief rabbi. Each one has its own, each community has its own chief rabbi.
Right.
And those rabbis bought in, they all got vaccinated, they all said that it is all these lies about how it does this to you and it does that to you, and it's all these things that they made up, just lies. I don't know why people lie about it. But the rabbis denounced it, and then everybody ran out and got vaccinated. That's why 80% of the Israeli ultra-Orthodox are. I mean, imagine if that would happen in this country.
Yeah.
We would whip this this pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
If Republicans continue to refuse to get vaccinated, this is an unending nightmare. That it can't end. It'll end with like the way it's in like India.
Yeah.
Where
30%
of Delhi is now infected.
Wow.
30% of a city that's bigger than any U.S. city.
It's frightening. The number of cases yesterday alone was something like 300 and some odd thousand, the largest single day number since the thing started. It's really not good.
And the thing about Indian figures is that they're probably not even reporting half of how bad it is.
Oh, my God.
Not because they're trying to cheat, but because some of the state governments are trying to cheat, but there's also huge numbers of people live in rural, remote areas where they're just starting to figure out what COVID is, and people are dying and they don't know why. So we're not getting the full horror. I mean, we're certainly in modern places like Delhi and Mumbai and I can't even remember all the new names of all the cities in India. But in those places, we are getting the accurate numbers. But in the rural countryside where so many millions and millions and hundreds of millions of people live, we're not getting numbers that are even remotely close to reality.
Right. And, the other thing, like, for instance, here in Florida, this week, they opened it up to everybody. And in most places, you'd no longer need an appointment. You just show up. I'd rather have an appointment, so I'm not waiting hours, but you just show up. And now I read that Jackson Memorial, which is the biggest health, hospital, not chain, but the provider in Miami, they're going to stop doing the first dose. They said because the demand has fallen. And now they're talking about there's going to be much more supply than there is demand, yet there's still like half of the population that needs to be vaccinated. This is not good. That's frightening to me.
And that is actually what the post that I've been talking about is about how in all these very, very, very Republican counties throughout the country, although mostly in the South, but also in everywhere else, everywhere in the country where there are, huge majorities of Republicans, they're not getting vaccinated. And, the health departments are saying, don't send us any more vaccine. We can't even give away the stuff we have now. That's a real problem, and it's going to be a problem for the whole country because we'll never get to herd immunity.
Nope.
It will keep allowing these variants to come into existence until finally there's going to one that comes into existence that's going to wipe us all out.
Yep. Meanwhile, in the middle of all this, I just, you know, I peeked at Twitter, and there's kind of an explosion of posts about United Healthcare. They're at it again. United Health Group executives are pushing their employees to lobby Connecticut lawmakers against a state public option plan. This is their whole thing. They're going all in against here. While reporting billions in profits, United Health asked regulators to approve huge premium increases, then top execs pressured rank-and-file employees to help kill a state public option because it would offer consumers, quote, artificially low premiums. So here we go again, the same shit, different year, in the middle of a pandemic, and they're still playing with fire like this.
Yeah. So, you know, if your pal Biden was a progressive, maybe he'd shut them down.
Yes.
He'd throw in jail who are doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to write him off yet. I'm going to say something's going to be done about this. Not so much Biden, but I think he brought in a lot of good people around him. You know, yeah. Kristen Clark and Vanita Gupta just both, I don't know if Kristen Clark's been confirmed yet, but he is bringing decent people in around him, which is, you know, better than
some of them.
Some of them. Right.
But also bad people. I mean, look at Gina Raimondo.
Yeah, she's
one of the worst
bad.
Of the worst. I mean, when you look at the six states that handled the coronavirus the worst in the country,
yeah,
and you judge that by how many cases there are per million residents. Five of those states are, you know, like Tennessee and Utah and, you know, the regular Republican kind of states that all voted for Trump, that all have Republican governors, that all have veto-proof mega majorities of Republicans in both houses of the state legislature. Five of them are that, and then one of them is Rhode Island, where a corporate shill of the worst kind, Gina Raimondo, was governor and handled the coronavirus as badly as Ron DeSantis, and she's now a part of Biden's cabinet.
Yeah, I don't get it.
He definitely has brought in some good people, and also the worst of the worst trick.
Right. No, I agree. I don't think anybody would meet my, you know, what I would do if I were president. You know, my standards are pretty high, as are yours.
Absolutely right.
Right.
I've been fighting with these people who are angry at me because I won't denounce AOC.
You won't denounce AOC.
And that they're not satisfied with her.
Oh, my God.
Sure you must be getting it, too.
Oh, I do get. Well, there's a whole faction, and it's the Glenn Greenwald faction. Glenn Greenwald, who shows up on Fox three or four nights a week, apparently, these days. And, you know, that whole group of, I liken it to, they're so far left that they go around and come out on the right. You know, the Lee Camps, the, what's his name, Ryan Knight, those kind of people who are so angry. AOC, she didn't do enough to get, you know, Medicare for All or $15 an hour minimum. But she's a young congressman. Can we talk about Nancy fucking Pelosi? Did you hear the idiocy that came out of her mouth the other day? Oh, my God.
Roland just keeps asking me if she's either senile or drunk. We have to know which.
I think she's both. For those who didn't hear it, I'm sure you heard it, but let me just, this is all you need to hear is the first 5 seconds here.
Thank you, George Floyd, for sacrificing your life for justice.
George Floyd did not sacrifice his life. He was murdered. He would not have done that voluntarily, which is what she implied. She just needs to go home. And she made some, you know, there's this new book that Susan Page wrote about her that's out now that I guess she goes off on AOC and the squad and has some very not nice things to say about them. Nancy Pelosi needs to go home.
Yes, she does. And that's going to happen very soon.
I hope so. Do you know anything?
she pledged this was her last term.
Okay. Yeah, but all right. I hope you're right. I hope it is. It should have been, you know, three terms ago, but yeah, time for her to go and
yep.
to get some young blood in there.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think they're aiming for Hakeem Jeffries.
Oh, God.
So horrible.
Oh,
like,
God.
Beyond belief.
Oh, God. You know, it's one step up and two steps back, it seems, like the Springsteen song. Anyway, Howie Klein, thank you. I do. Everyone should go to downwithtyranny.com. Definitely read that first story, the one dealing with Ted Lieu and the voicemails and the, oh my God. Things are better than they were when Trump was in office, but we are still in the middle of a shit sandwich. That's the way I look at it. Anyway, Howie Klein, as always, thank you.
See you next week.
Okay, bye. Tomorrow on the program, Senator Mazie Hirono will be here. So, like I said, I'll be interviewing her early in the morning. So I got to prep for that. Don't have time to read the book, but it'll be okay. If you have any questions, burning questions you want me to ask her, shoot me an email, Nicole@NicoleSandler.com. Thanks for listening, everyone. I will see you tomorrow. Keep the faith and get vaccinated. Bye.
Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Thursday is Earth Day. What better way to mark the occasion than to host 40 world leaders for a virtual climate summit? President Joe Biden kicked off the event this morning, making news today by announcing that the United States will commit to cutting greenhouse gas emissions by 50% to 52% below 2005 levels by 2030.
We have to take action, all of us. And this summit is our first step on the road we'll travel together, God willing, all of us, to and through Glasgow this November and the UN Climate Change Conference.
The conference runs through Friday. Guilty verdicts in the George Floyd case have renewed hopes that police reform at state and national levels is possible. The Senate's only black Republican, that would be Tim Scott of South Carolina, suggested compromise on the divisive issue of qualified immunity. That's the provision that protects officers against personal liability in civil suits. Tim Scott's idea is to shift the accountability from the officers to their departments. Democrats want some sort of reform deal done by the anniversary of George Floyd's death on May 25th. Meanwhile, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, a Republican, announced a police reform bill there with more de-escalation training and better record keeping. This is timely right now because Ohio state officials are investigating the fatal police shooting of a 16-year-old black girl shown in body camera video appearing to swing at two people with a knife. The girl was identified by relatives in Franklin County Children's Services as Makia Bryant. She was killed just hours after a jury in Minneapolis convicted former police officer Derek Chauvin for the murder of George Floyd. And of course, Bryant's death in Columbus, Ohio, sparked protests there. Bryant's family said she was the one who called 911 requesting protection from other girls who were threatening her and allegedly fighting outside of the house. And before you ask, yep, it happened again. This time, it was Wednesday morning in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, where yet another black man was shot and killed by police. The Pasquotank County Sheriff and District Attorney held the all-too-familiar, yet lacking-in-detail, press briefing.
It's been a tragic day today that started at approximately 8:30 a.m. during a search warrant at 421 Perry Street by Pasquotank County Sheriff's deputies. Andrew Brown Jr. was fatally wounded during this search warrant. We do have body cameras, yes, and they were active. What I can confirm is this was a search warrant. This was a search warrant that was being fulfilled.
And it is indeed a tragic day here in Pasquotank County. What we are looking for at this time will be accurate answers and not fast answers. This will not be a rush to judgment. We're going to wait for that investigation. as we're duty-bound to do.
And today, Thursday, is the funeral of Daunte Wright, a 20-year-old black man killed by police in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, just a few minutes away from Minneapolis, where Derek Chauvin was found guilty of murdering George Floyd the day before. Well, thankfully, Attorney General Merrick Garland announced Wednesday afternoon that the Justice Department is launching a civil investigation of the Minneapolis Police Department to determine whether it, quote, engages in a pattern or practice of unconstitutional or unlawful policing.
The investigation I am announcing today will assess whether the Minneapolis Police Department engages in a pattern or practice of using excessive force, including during protests. The investigation will also assess whether the MPD engages in discriminatory conduct and whether its treatment of those with behavioral health disabilities is unlawful. It will include a comprehensive review of the Minneapolis Police Department's policies, training, supervision, and use of force investigations.
Garland's announcement came a day after a jury found former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin guilty on murder and manslaughter charges for the killing of George Floyd. This inquiry is separate from a previously announced federal criminal investigation into whether Chauvin violated Floyd's civil rights. But, as usual, it's one step up, two steps back. A new bill passed by the Florida Senate, proposed by the governor and signed into law by Ron DeSantis on Wednesday, will give people civil immunity for running over protesters. I'm not kidding. The euphemistically referred to anti-riot bill is nothing of the sort. Instead, it criminalizes our First Amendment right to protest. The Orlando Sentinel reporting, quote, "The parts of the bill that most upset Democrats grant civil legal immunity to people who drive through protesters blocking a road, prevent people arrested for rioting or offenses committed during a riot from bailing out of jail until their first court appearance, and impose a 6-month mandatory sentence for battery on a police officer during a riot." It also basically says that you could be charged just for participating in a peaceful protest where some violence occurs. I expect the first legal challenge about, well, yesterday. But similar legislation is making its way through state legislatures around the country. Moving on to COVID, this bringing together new guidance for vaccinated Americans. And the White House has announced new efforts to boost plateauing vaccination rates by offering incentives for businesses to allow their employees to get paid for the time it takes them to go get vaccinated. A new study finds that the risk of fully vaccinated people contracting COVID-19 remains extremely low. In this study, only 2 of these so-called breakthrough infections were reported out of hundreds of vaccinated people. Now, scientists tell us that no vaccine fully protects against a disease, but the high protection rate for these vaccines is reassuring. New research about the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines also show that they don't appear to pose any serious risk during pregnancy. Meanwhile, the pandemic continues to ravage India, where their latest daily tally reported 314,835 new cases. That's the highest one-day case count any country has seen during the pandemic, and the highest daily increase in cases worldwide since the pandemic began. The Senate on Wednesday confirmed Vinita Gupta to the number 3 position in President Biden's Department of Justice. The vote was close, 51-49, with Senator Lisa Murkowski, Republican of Alaska, the only Republican to break with her party. Now, without Murkowski's support, Gupta still would have been confirmed, as Vice President Kamala Harris would have used her vote to break the 50-50 tie. Regardless, Gupta will serve as the Associate Attorney General overseeing the department's work on civil litigation and law enforcement matters, which likely will include the civil rights investigation into the Minneapolis Police Department. Gupta served as head of the DOJ Civil Rights Division under former President Barack Obama. And finally, the world is watching. Thousands of people demonstrated in Russia Wednesday in support of jailed opposition leader Alexei Navalny, who's on a prison hunger strike and reportedly at death's door. Navalny's chief of staff called the turnout unprecedented, estimating the crowd in Moscow at around 60,000. The Interior Ministry put the number at 6,000. Security forces arrested more than 1,700 people. The protests came on the day of Russian President Vladimir Putin's annual address to the nation. He didn't mention Navalny, but he warned that anyone who, quote, organizes any provocations that threaten our core security will regret this like they've never regretted anything before, end quote. He also warned foreign powers not to cross any red lines in opposing Russia. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.